You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Morita, and I'm joined today by my good friend, David Platt, pastor in Metro DC, author, founder of Radical, a ministry that exists to equip Christians to be on mission. David, it's great to have you back on the podcast. It's always good to see you. We have so many stories that we could bore the listeners with, but would make us laugh.
That's good. So a lot of them come to my mind right now. So good, man. Hey, God's so gracious.
We're going to talk preaching here in this podcast. A lot of what we're going to talk about is based on David's masterclass video. So go to newchurches.com and a lot of amazing content there that's free, including David's session on preaching. I love to tell the story. I use it in the context of we can all grow in our preaching. You know, when Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, let them see your progress. And I'm very thankful, first of all, that none of my early sermons are on the World Wide Web.
Thankfully,
we were before the internet preaching. But I love your story about you spitting water on the front row. Could you share that with the listener?
Oh, man. So it's my first sermon ever. I was in eighth grade, we had like a youth service once a month. And it was our grades month to kind of plan the service. And the other guys were like, why don't you preach? And I was like, okay. So, man, I studied. I could have picked any text in all of Holy Scripture. And I chose Revelation 3, 14 through 21, church at Laodicea, the Lord spewing people out of his mouth. And so, man, I studied, I don't know how many hours for that thing. And it was mainly Matthew Henry, like whatever he said I was going to go with. So, that commentary. So I studied and I got the idea. Okay. I think this is what I'm going to do. So I walked up, I stood in front of all my peers and I had a bottle of water, took a sip, spit it out in the front row. And I was like, that's what God thinks of you if you're lukewarm. And that's how it started for me, man, right there.
Nowhere to go but up. I mean, I like the passion, though.
It's kind of the prophetic edge from the start. I don't know, man.
The prophetic edge. Yes, indeed. So even the best can improve. That's my point.
No, there's no question about that. God, wow. So gracious. Yes, so gracious.
David and I did our master's and PhDs together and learned a lot from him. One of the things I say about David all the time is that he hasn't changed in terms of he's the real deal. And the radical and his message and his passion is part of his everyday life. I mean, David likes to have a good time and laugh as well, but there are moments when I've been in conversation where he can just pivot on a dime and just, I was like, whoa, man. Like, so he was over at my house a few years ago and we were just reflecting on all the places the Lord has allowed us to minister. Mm-hmm. And we was kind of dumbfounded by his grace, mm-hmm. you know? And, we just had some tea, and because David doesn't drink coffee, he's a tea guy. So I was taking him to a chapel service, and then I was going to get on an airplane to speak at another school at a chapel service. And here we were, you know, 20 plus years ago, just these kids on the front row of preaching class taking notes. Mm. And I was just reflecting on God's grace with David. And I was trying to say to David, basically like, hey man, give me a call sometime or let's stay in better touch. Maybe respond to my text, you know, like some of that sort of thing. And David says to me in response to that, we should be in hell, bro. And I was backing out of the driveway, you know, we should be in hell, bro. I was like, yeah, that's true. But like that, like escalated quickly. And it's like, I was hoping for, yeah, man, let's do that. Let's stay in touch. But I loved that moment because it really is true. And when you start your day recognizing what you deserve, but what God has given us instead, it was a very memorable moment for me to marvel at the mercy of God every day. And also a reminder of what we're doing in preaching, which is presenting people with the good news so that they can escape God's wrath and find refuge and grace in Christ. And we want to do that among the nations, and that's we want to preach in view of the nations, which is what this podcast is about. Talk to the listeners for just a moment about what it means to preach with the nations in view.
Well, I that would just lead right into kind of my theology of preaching, based on a theology of God. So the God whose word we proclaim, the God who we are pointing people to in his word, is the God of the nations. So he's a global God. He's not just God of the people we're talking to at that moment, or people who look like those we're talking to at that moment, or those we're entrusted with the responsibility of shepherding. He's God over all the nations. Jesus is the Savior of all nations. This is, I would argue, based on Luke 24, like core to the gospel. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all nation. The nations. Mm-hmm. Like that's this is the commission we've been given clearly, and preaching certainly is a fundamental part of the Great Commission. So I want to, so what that means in my, not just theology, but the way it works out in practice, is that I don't just mention the nations once or twice a year in a sermon on missions. Mm-hmm. I'm preaching the global glory of God all the time. Mm-hmm. And the word of God leads to that. The word of God is a story from cover to cover about a God who is passionate about his own glory among all the nations. Mm-hmm. And he sends his son to be a sacrifice for the sins of every, and he purchases people for God, Revelation 5, from every tribe, language, people, and nation. Mm-hmm. So all that to say, I would argue that we, when we preach, the nation should always, the glory of God among the nations should always be in view, and we should preach in that context every time we open God's word.
Yeah, you referenced Luke 24, and so if our listeners, if you may not, you may not be the primary preacher, but if you're doing any kind of Bible study, any kind of disciple making from the word, Luke 24 is a really foundational passage, isn't it? I often say, like, if I could go back in time, that may be the spot I would pick to walk on the Emmaus Road with the resurrected Christ and hear him teach me about how everything points to him in the Bible.
Yes.
That would have been a remarkable experience.
Yes.
And David and I were part of a mentor group called the Emmaus Road.
And, so good,
it
man.
It was so formative for us. And I've since, I have my own now Emmaus Road group. And just, but I think what you mentioned there is important. Most people that are familiar with that passage allude to it often to talk about how Christ is central in all the scriptures. And of course, we believe that. We have a commentary series actually called the Christ-centered Exposition commentary series. But that little tagline about to the nations is also a very important line, isn't it, in that text? So if you haven't looked at Luke 24 in a while, I would just encourage you to do a deep dive into
it. That's a good word.
It's something I do with my classes kind of at the beginning of the semester just to kind of set the tone for where we're going. Is there a danger in disconnecting preaching from disciple-making? And how are the two related?
Yeah, all right, let's think disciple-making. Go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Behold, I'm with you as you do this, always, to the end of the age. Like, well, preaching feels like it's pretty fundamental to that. I mean, it's teaching people to observe all that I've commanded you. It's proclaiming the gospel, part of going and leading people into relationship with Christ to be baptized as part of the body of Christ. Like, preaching is a non-negotiable part of disciple making, and but it's not all, like, it's not just preparing and preaching sermons and disciples are made. Preaching needs to be a part of a culture in a church that's surrounded by all kinds of other things that a church does biblically: praying, cultivating biblical fellowship, accountability, and discipline along the way, biblical worship, all these other things that come together to help people grow in the image of Christ, sharing life with each other. So I would say preaching is a fundamental part of this great commission we've been given. But if all we're doing is preparing and teaching sermons, then we are not doing all that disciple making requires.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. When you think about your preaching calendar for the year, and you just think about, you know, like what texts, what topics, any practical tips you would give the listeners about how do you go about selecting your series or what book you might preach through next?
I love a plurality of leadership in the church, period. I have conviction that church is led by pastors, elders, overseers, plural, those words interchangeably used in the New Testament. And so I love the process of getting aside with other pastors, praying together and asking the Lord, what do you have for us to walk through? Mm-hmm. Knowing, all right, we want to be faithful in an Acts 20 kind of way to proclaim the whole counsel of God. We don't want to pick and choose according to our thoughts or our ideas. At the same time, we want to, we want to take God's word, look at the church where we are right now, and prayerfully seek the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And what is He leading us to hear from Him right now? And to make sure that's balanced and make sure that's helping our people in a Galatians 4 kind of way be conformed to the image of Christ. And to see the way the Spirit moves in that process, I love it. I just love coming out of that process in an Acts 15 kind of way, saying, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit in us that we walk through. We're just, started James. We walk through James right now. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit in us that we, I remember when I, this was years ago, but I'd written Radical, and a lot of that came about because of walking through the book of James. Mm-hmm. And but then people started saying, almost like looking at all this work that we're trying to do, it's like, no, we're missing the points. It was like Galatians. And so we walked through Galatians. It was like, grace, grace. And then, so just to, I love how the word does the work, bro. Mm-hmm. I remember the first day, once I'd become pastor, this was back at the Church of Brook Hills in Birmingham. And dude, I had no clue what I was doing. I mean, not that I got it figured out now. I have no clue what I'm doing now, even as I say that. But I remember sitting down though. They voted on Sunday, Monday morning. I'm in the office. I'm like, literally, what do I do? I'm like, well, I got to preach a sermon this Sunday. So, all right, let's start there. And the word does the work.
Yeah.
The word does the work.
Now, you at Brook Hills, used to give out outlines, right, of your sermon. Mm-hmm. Do you still do that at McLean?
We don't do fill in the blank outlines, but I actually use my iPad, and it's something I started doing a couple of years ago, where I was trying to teach people. We were walking through Psalm 1, I remember, and I want to teach them to meditate on the word, to really soak it in. Just look at the words, look at the phrases, look at how they relate to each other. And so I was just put on the screen of my iPad, just like circling words and trying to teach them how to study the Bible in the context of preaching the Bible. And I thought, why don't I try to show them that like every week in every text? And so that's just something I started doing. And so instead of like an outline in their hands, I'm putting the text on the screen, and I mean, I want them to have their Bible in front of them, but I'm trying to show them how to make notes, circle, make connections here or there, and then kind of the flow of the sermon will come out through that.
Do you ever get pushback or people saying that's not how you should preach?
I've heard some pushback along those lines, which I think I'm definitely not saying like you should do that.
Yeah.
And I think some of the pushback has been like, maybe it comes across and I think it could, and maybe it does, maybe I'm just blind to it. But I've asked our elders and pastors, like, am I missing something here? Mm-hmm. I don't want it to come across as academic or just like there's exhortation that's happening. Mm-hmm. There's in preaching, there's certainly application, illustration. But I think there's my goal is to say, this is not coming from me. Mm-hmm. It's coming from right here. And I want you to see it, like where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. And I think that outweighs some of the other challenges. But I'm sure there's a way, with any kind of style that we might adopt, that it could be healthy or not as helpful
exactly,
to the church.
Exactly. Yeah, if your listeners are not familiar with what David does, I would encourage you to go to their website and watch the sermon. Is that exemplified in the sermon videos?
Yeah. I mean, if you were to go to radical.net, and look at any of the sermons from the last couple of years, you would see that. And that's not me saying, I think everybody should do this.
No,
like, it's just like, I mean, I share preaching with another lead pastor in our church, and he doesn't do that.
Right.
And
right.
So,
yeah. I'm thinking for the listeners, especially those who are teaching in, mm-hmm. in certain contexts, like, it forces you to really look at the text and deal with it. And so I enjoy it. I don't know that I could do it. But yeah, you have the passion. You could pretty much just read the phone book and it would be good, you know? So, and I want to talk about that for a moment. Like, your enthusiasm is contagious. You lead out of, in my opinion, theology, character, passion, and people want to follow you, you know? But say we've got a guy listening here. He's a pastor. He doesn't have the same enthusiasm for the nations. What would you say to him to encourage him? Because we don't want to just artificially let's preach with the nations in view, but not have our heart, you know, in that moment.
Yeah, you know, I my mind's going in two directions here. One is our mentor, Jim Shaddix. I mean, I remember when we were at New Orleans. At one point, he and I were like tag team preached a sermon, and so we tag teamed our preparation. And I remember distinctly starting that kind of preparation process with him. And he was like, let's get on our knees. And we just got on our knees with the text, like read through the text, prayed through the text. And he's in tears. And that marked me, man. Mm-hmm. That was like, okay. And I think the language he used was internalizing the text. Mm-hmm. I want any text. That I'm preaching, I want to like meditate on it, internalize for it, to use the language you're using, like for this to be in the heart, and for what I'm preaching to be out of the overflow of that. Now, connect that with the nations. I should say, obviously, that's going to look differently and different in different people's lives, like the way passion or enthusiasm plays out in my life, and the way I preach is going to be different with some other people. But I do think, due to a variety of different things, but when it comes to the nations, I do think if we are worshipers of a global God, that we should have a heart for the nations. Like, should, I'm using that word intentionally, we should have a heart for the spread of God's glory among all the nations. That's where all history is headed. Mm-hmm. It's where God's heart is. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's God's heart, it's not our heart. Well, whose heart needs to change? Yeah. Like, I think it needs to be there. And so I would say, what meditation and internalization needs to happen if that's not there, to where you are zealous for the spread of God's glory among all the nations? That's not just for like a few people. That's for every follower of Jesus. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of Christ wants the world for Christ. Mm-hmm. So we want the world for Christ. And then, but that can't be manufactured. Mm-hmm. Like, you need... Yeah, spend time. If that's not there, what needs to happen to see God's glory? And I mean, I pray this all the time, specifically for the church in America, for missional awakening, that God would open our eyes, our hearts, to see He's global. His glory is greater than what we can imagine. And the nation's great need. There's 3 billion people who have little to no knowledge of the gospel right now. And they will be born, live, and die, and go to an eternal hell without... they don't ever hear the gospel. And so I think there's some internalization that needs to happen in our lives, and especially as pastors and preachers, teachers of God's word in any capacity, before we teach that word.
Man, I'm always encouraged when we talk. I'm always instructed, inspired. So, man, thanks for being on the podcast.
Pure joy.
Check out David's preaching masterclass video, Preaching with the Nations in View. We want to always thank our listeners. We'd love for you to leave a review wherever you download your podcast. And make sure you subscribe, because we've got a lot more good content coming your way. Remember, friends, the tomb is empty and the throne is occupied. We are good news people in a bad news world. So let's go engage our communities with the gospel out of the overflow of a Christ-adoring heart.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.